Mr. Fresco, you have a very broad vision of the future. Can you summarize for my listeners where you think that humanity should be heading in the next decades to come?
First, I'd like to say, if you want to live in a world without war, poverty, hunger, unemployment, what you have to do is declare the earth and all its resources as the common heritage of all the world's people. I think if you fail to do that, you'll have the same problems over and over again. I think that when few nations control most of the earth's resources, you're going to have territorial problems, anguish, riots, and all the problems that have been around for hundreds of years. I do not believe they can be solved unless you remove all the artificial boundaries that separate people and share the earth's resources and knowledge with everyone, so that every nation that joins with us no longer needs armies or navies or any socially offensive patterns of behavior. I don't think we can achieve it unless we do that.
What role does money play in this whole game, in your opinion?
As long as you use money, you can pay off incentives. You can pay off senators, congressmen. If you have a large corporation, you can put up money to help people get elected. When they get elected, they owe you a favor. I cannot see the problems solved within the monetary system.
What would replace money in this world?
Well, I think that we have more than enough resources. If you drafted all the money in the world, if you conscripted it, there isn't enough to build hospitals or housing alone. But if you use the resources of the world, there's enough to house everybody, build hospitals all over the world, and permit people access to the necessities of life. If you don't permit that, you're going to have trouble.
And of course, a lot of people see a problem in that because they might say, well, the motivation to do extraordinary things is then not there. How do you react to this?
Well, I think that the answer to that is that I think Martin Luther King marched into the South not because somebody deposited $100,000 in a Swiss bank account. I think Gandhi marched because he believed in what he was doing. I'm afraid of people that march for money.
So in this world, not only there is no money, but there is a common agreement of all people to share, but also the environment is very different. I mean, the cities that you envision are very different from what we have today.
Yes. Most of the cities today are inefficient. They waste resources. They weren't planned. They just evolved. So I would say that cities should be with built-in transportation. Take you anywhere within the city in just 15 or 20 minutes. I think that cities should have art centers, music centers, cultural centers, shopping, and all the things that people need available. If you have trouble with that, picture the library. There were women that marched for a public library, and they said, well, it wouldn't work because people wouldn't buy books from bookstores if you made books available free. But what the library succeeded in doing is making books available free. Many people could not afford books in the old days. So when they got the library in, people read more than they ever read before, and they bought more books from bookstores than ever before. And they were wrong about that. So next door to the library, I will have a camera center. When anybody in the community can check out a camera, or any kind of camera, use it and drop it off at the nearest library when you're through. Or you can keep it for a week or two, just like a library book. Next door to that place, there's a musical instrument where you can go in like the library and check out a violin, a saxophone. That makes more things available to people. And then it will cut crime by 85% if you make things available. No one's going to hit you on the head and take your watch if those things are available. It's cheaper to give things to people than put them in jail.
And also at the heart of those cities that you envision, there is always this library, as you said. And a very intricate part of this whole system is something that you envisioned in the 30 years ago, in the 70s, I think, or maybe even earlier, that is very close to today's internet. So this electronic medium was integrated into your idea from the beginning, if I understand correctly.
That's correct. The center of the city has medical care, center care, child care, access to resources, and exhibitions. The center of the city has a cybernated system, the electronic system that looks after the entire city and the well-being of all people. If you have streetcars and buses in your city, they have to stop at the red light. They have to stop at the corner so you get traffic jams. We have a transportation system 30 feet up off the ground, so it doesn't have to stop on a red light or any corner. So traffic is in complete and continuous flow. Otherwise, you poison the atmosphere with all these cars waiting at a red light. The cities are lousy today. They do not work. They're inefficient.
And in the city of the future, you also see no policemen standing around.
No, not at all. You used to have a policeman in the old days at every corner. He would blow the whistle and stop traffic. Today, traffic lights do that. Tomorrow, the train will do that automatically off the ground. For example, the agricultural computers have their electrical tentacles into the soil. If the water table drops, that pumps water out there. If the nutrients change, it pumps nutrients out there. Why do we use electronics for military purposes only? Why don't we train soldiers to be problem solvers, to bridge the difference between nations rather than killing machines? That's what soldiers are to me, killing machines. They don't solve problems. They just smash countries.
Yeah, some people say they create the problems. But is part of this system also, does this also need centralization?
In the old days, Washington didn't know what was going on in Florida. They were too far away. But with modern electronics, you can go back to centralization, because there you can see every state of the union, how it's operate, or every country. A dispersion of centralization was an attempt to control conditions throughout the states in Florida, in the United States. But in the future, it'd be very easy to access all kinds of information in the central system. Back to centralization makes it much more easy and more efficient. Since there are no state advantages, there's no reason for one state to be corrupt.
But isn't there also the danger that comes with centralization, that this power could be abused again?
There is no power, because we use no people in government. We use computerized systems. As long as you have people in government, for example, you've got the drug company. If they find out that celery juice can lower blood pressure, they can't make any money with that, so they sell you pills. Every corporation keeps its own production method private. By sharing ideas with the world, the standard of living for everybody goes up. So we want to raise every human being to their highest potential. The better educated the people are, the richer the world. Every kid shooting up drugs, hanging out in malls, having no place to go, we will build art centers, music centers, cultural centers, and all universities would be free throughout the world.
Coming back once again to the centralization thing, when you say that the decisions are not made by people in this world, but they are made by computers, but who would program those computers?
Okay, I'll try to answer that. In the early days, at least when I was a kid, man would look out of an airplane and he'd say, "I'm about a mile high." With the advent of radar, you can send a beam down to the ground and back up to the airplane and tell the pilot he's 5,200 feet, 20 inches off the ground. No human being can look out of an airplane and give you the exact height, only a rough estimate. So it is not machines taking over. I want you to understand that. They will be assigned tasks that men cannot handle.
So they would not make the actual decisions, but if, for example, there's a distribution problem, then those machines would have access to all the data and then
exactly
make suggestions. But still then a human being would decide.
No, because when you have human beings making a decision, for example, about 9 months ago, computers can handle 1,000 trillion bits of information per second. No group of humans can do that. You understand that just their performance isn't that great anymore. So I would say that, do you remember when people used to operate elevators? They used to turn the crank and try to get the elevator to stop on the floor. Today you press 20 and the elevator stops exactly on the floor. Human beings are being surpassed in performance. I'm not against human beings. I would like to see them work 4 hours a day, 3 days a week, and spend more time with their family. You don't need to work people 8 hours a day. Do you understand? You don't have the time to spend with your kids, and they don't earn enough. If the Venus Project doesn't come out, if industry begins to automate, put in more and more machines, what you're going to have eventually, the loss of purchasing power of people. And when you have that, that's the end of the monetary system. It doesn't take the free enterprise system collapsing. It'll collapse anyway because of automation.
And human beings, in your vision, wouldn't be forced, I'm inclined to say, to do manual work, to do hard work. It would all be done by machines.
Always cheaper. You can't have a human being fill bottles. Today you look at an automation plant, there's 100 nozzles that come down and fill the bottles and move them faster than any human being can move them. In the old days you had 3,000 people working in automobile factories. Today 30 people can operate the whole factory, and tomorrow 10 people. So automation is moving faster, better, more accurately. The information coming from a satellite in one day takes scientists 400 years to decipher. That's what I mean by human beings are too slow. It appears that computers can take into consideration the operation of a whole continent, especially a technical civilization. No human can do that. So what you get from human beings is laws. They pass laws. Don't sell drugs. Say no to tobacco. That doesn't work. People are selling drugs. Human laws are artificial. They're unreal. What is real is natural law. If you don't get enough sleep or enough good food, you get sick regardless of the laws. The laws that man made are only for the convenience of big business. It does not concern the average person. If you don't understand that, cigarettes would not be available in a good society because they always produce cancer, heart problems, high blood pressure. Why does the government permit cigarettes? Because they get a kickback through taxation. Same with liquor and all the things that are detrimental the government makes money on.
And so when machines do all the work, then of course the surplus of goods that is produced here must be, and especially the gains made, they must be equally distributed again and among the people, and then this would work. So you have the machines doing all, so the machines would also do harvesting and planting crops,
planting seeds and everything. Yes.
Okay,
but so, also another important thing, nothing like cell phones are junk, the way they're made. They're not good. But in the old days, everybody had an object in their home that never broke down, and it didn't belong to them. It was a telephone issued by the telephone company. They didn't want it to break down, so it was designed not to break down. All the junk that you buy is designed to run 2 or 3 years, and then it breaks down or less. It's called planned obsolescence. Another word is the conscious withdrawal of efficiency. If you design things to wear out and break down, you hurt people, you waste resources. If we design things, it'd be the best quality that our nation can turn out, or that all nations can turn out. No more junk available. No more junk food. No more cigarettes. No more poverty. No more hunger. Medical care for everyone. No taxation. We don't need it anymore. We now have a technological world. Politicians, by the way, don't know how to solve problems. I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to walk over to any politician you believe in and say, how can you grow more food? I don't know. How can you increase the agricultural yield? I don't know. How can you transmit electrical power with minimum losses? They don't know. Our problems today are technical, not political. 100 years ago, politics was great. But today, it just doesn't know how to solve problems.
So what you're actually saying is exactly the opposite of what our system tells us day after day, which is we don't have enough. What you are saying is we have enough of everything.
We have more than enough.
We have more than enough. We yes. need to stop wasting stuff by building machines that break down after a year, so it forces us to constantly buy new machines.
And change the style of dresses,
yeah.
and change the style of the tail fin on a car. Don't forget, cars are designed to last just so long. In the future, we don't do that, because the shorter the life of the car, the more burden to society.
Yeah, the more resources we use.
Guns last a long time. You understand, when war comes, we give airplanes to pilots that cost close to $1 billion. Submarines, ships, aircraft carriers, everything that soldiers need to kill with. Nuclear weapons, we spend billions of dollars making them. If only we spent that money on education, solving the difference between nations without killing. We've been taught to kill. Let me tell you this. When you draft a soldier who puts his life up for your country, you should draft all the war industries so no one makes a buck out of war. Then it's real. Do you understand what I mean? The war makes millionaires selling machine guns, airplanes, cannons, anti-aircraft weapons, submarines, aircraft carriers. There'd be no profit in war. There wouldn't be any war.
So if we would stop doing all this all this stuff that no one needs, then you say we would have enough for everyone on this planet. What about water?
Well, you've read that there are floods all over the world, constantly. If we use canals to harness the floodwaters and store the floodwaters, there's no shortage of anything. The shortage is made by negligence or technical negligence. You can make money selling a bottle of water for a buck. So why not privatize everything? Everybody can get rich. Don't you see it's a self-centered world where everybody's in it for what they can get out of it? If you need a root canal, a dentist makes $1,200. If your car gets dented, somebody makes a couple of $100 straightening out the dents. If everybody makes money on everybody, it's a predatory society. Don't you see that?
I think we see it every day. You also have a lot of ideas for space travel.
Well, I'm not too interested in space just yet, because people aren't wise enough to use space intelligently. I can assure you, if single nations get out in space, it'll have nuclear weapons going around. Once you put nuclear weapons up there, you can threaten any nation. So the next war will be fought in space. Man is too stupid today to go out into space and use it intelligently. What I'd like to see is when the nations learn to live together in peace and share ideas, let's go into space as a joint venture. Not any single nation. I'm afraid of that.
I understand, and the weaponization of space is probably ongoing as we speak, but wouldn't space travel also be a very inspiring idea for us?
I understand. They're even thinking of terraforming other planets, making Mars livable and the Moon livable. I'm against that because the Earth is falling apart. We're poisoning the air, the oceans, the rivers, the streams, everything in America, I'm talking about the world today, is poisoning the oceans. What we have to do is clean up the Earth first. Stop thinking of terraforming other planets. You can't move collective civilization to other planets. It's an impractical artificiality at this time. Let's take care of the Earth and prevent it from falling apart.
And then, at a later
and
point...
then we go off to other planets.
How do you think will we get from here to there? How will we be able to...
Education. We want to make a major motion picture showing people how we get from here to there and what the world would look like if they go toward a resource-based economy, what it would mean to their lives. Their standard of living would go up immediately. There'd be no more unemployment. There'd be no more care for the old folks, no more charity, no more Red Cross, no more street people or hungry people. We have enough in the environment to take care of everybody. If we don't wait too long, people are very stupid. Every time you have a war, you ruin the cities, you blast the hell out of them, thousands of young, maybe millions of people die, and nothing is proven. You're going to have one war after the other. The United States has had many, many wars. They don't stop problems. What stops problems is giving other nations access to resources. It's cheaper, more godly, more spiritual to help other people than blast them to hell.
That's for sure. Still, I mean, we live in a world that, I mean, that is governed by money.
And greed.
And greed, yes. So what would make a change to this? I mean, I hear ideas like this and I really love them. I mean, I'm seeing your vision is a very hopeful thing. But on the other hand, I have problems to imagine how we could turn around. You say it's education, but isn't it also about free media?
Well, there is no free media. All the media is controlled by the establishment. In other words, your newspapers, your television shows will not put information out there attacking the drug companies or the cigarette companies, because most radio and television stations make money on ads from automobile companies. Now, the automobile company has an airbag in front of you in the car. If you get hit on the side, your head goes right through the glass. So the whole inside the automobile has to be an airbag. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Everything is half-baked today. Nothing is really worked on, and they're sold for profit. In the future, they're sold to improve the lives of people, not profit. They're not sold. They're available to everybody. In other words, I want to tell you where I got these ideas from. I got them from the human body. If the brain said, I do all the thinking, I want all the nutrients, the lungs would say, if I don't oxygenate the blood, you would die as a brain. So the brain says, what do you need? Every mineral, every bit of water, everything that you need, I need the same thing. The same with all the organs of the human body need whatever the brain needs. They don't give in small rations. You would die in 2 days if you had a monetary system in the human body. All of nature works in support of the earth and everything else. The only thing that doesn't is man. Man has killed more of his kind, his own kind, over the centuries because they believe in different gods than you believe in. Man has been killing constantly. It's man that pollutes the environment, not machines. It's man that operates guided missiles. He puts himself on a pedestal. He says he is the highest form of creation. There's no evidence to support that. What he has done is made a graveyard of half the world, killing his own kind. The monetary system promotes greed, embezzlement, corruption, crime, and human aberrant behavior.
How long do you think humanity has to change the path it's heading down?
I'm sorry to say this. It's a very important question that you ask. We just have years left, maybe 10, 15 years. If we don't turn around, we may pass the point of no return.
And then humanity just goes down and there's nothing we can do about it?
They're going down now. There's starvation in Africa. I think about 2 million people die a year in Africa of malaria alone, and they don't know what to do about it. I'm going to tell you what to do about a lot of things now. The Venus Project is not concerned with pointing out the shortcomings of government. Our main concern is what can you do about it? So instead of having signs on the road saying, drive carefully, slippery when wet, we put abrasive in the highway so it's not slippery when wet. When you drive near a school, it says, please, drive carefully, school children crossing. When school children press the button to cross the street, a section of the pavement turns up so no car can hit a kid. Do you understand? We stop making laws, we start building technology to prevent accidents. All automobiles are equipped with sensors, so they can't hit one another. You have that in front of your house now. When you drive up to your house, your lights go on. You drive up to the garage, if it's raining, the garage door opens by a sensor. You can put those sensors on automobiles, so there are no accidents. All accidents are technical negligence.
What do you think could be the trigger that ushers in a change into this direction, that into this vision of a future that you just outlined?
I'm so sorry to offer this, because it sounds like a cop-out. It's not. Until people lose their cars, their jobs, and their homes, and lose confidence in their elected leaders, there will be no change. People don't seem to give a damn unless it affects them. I'm sorry about that. I wish they were smart enough to make the changes. What we want to do is make a movie showing how we get from here to there.
And when will this movie come out?
We're working on the script. We need movie producers to join with us. We need the help of other people. Roxanne and I have no power at all. If the public understands what I'm talking about, and if they understand, they'll look into the Zeitgeist movement. The Zeitgeist movement is the active arm of the Venus Project. So when you get through, look up thevenusproject.com. The Zeitgeist movement, find out where they meet, go to the meetings, share ideas, learn about the Venus Project.
Mr. Frasco, thank you for your time. It was a very fascinating conversation, and I wish you all the best for your project, and I'm looking forward to your film.
And thank you for the privilege of speaking to people.